You're listening to audio from The Village Church, a community that's formed by the gospel and sent on God's mission, gathering weekly in the heart of downtown Hamilton, Ohio. For more information about The Village or to connect with us, you can find us online at myvillagechurch.com.
Folks, settle for just a sec and get started. Hopefully everybody grabbed something to eat over there. So I'm hoping that most of you know what this is, but if you don't, this is a family meeting. It's a little bit different this time. We try to do these a couple times a year, just get some face time with everybody in the church together to share some stuff, give space for questions, all those things. We know email's a thing, and we can have one-on-one conversations, but it's just good to have everyone in the room. And so it's a little bit different this time because instead of what would normally be an hour-long fire hose dousing stuff of information, like, we already gave you all of the stuff to look at, and so if you've not seen that, then you might have lower, higher expectations maybe for this than what will happen, but you can go to myvillagechurch.com/family-meeting, and all the stuff that we wanted you to look at before right now is there, including us talking about all the updates. There's financial stuff up there, links to things, all that. So hopefully most of you guys have had a chance to look at that over the last 2 weeks. And now we just get to like hear some questions. We do have a couple of new things to share with you, or some stuff that got like some new details or whatever since we put all that stuff up a couple weeks ago. But at this point in time, what I want to do is simply open up for questions, comments, concerns, complaints, jokes, I don't know, whatever you got. We have a mic that'll float around. This is going to be recorded. The audio is, and so if you have jokes, just make sure they're good. But if you have any questions about any of the things that we've already put out there, we would love to take some time to respond to those. So that's what we're doing right now. And now I'm going to be quiet. If you have a question, simply raise your hand and we'll bring a mic to you. Clark, what do you got? Just kidding. Somebody has to be the first one. So
Clark's like, we want more goldfish. Where's the goldfish?
There's Jackie. You got one? Oh, Jackie. Hey.
Can I start?
Yeah, go for it. You got to talk into the mic, though. Mike.
Mike?
Oh, there we go. Sorry. I called you out, Mike. That was wrong. I'm sorry. Sorry.
Mike.
Sorry.
I was just wondering, can you discuss a little bit of financial priorities? I know in 22 we had the generosity, and then mission-wise, it's a lot about church planting, but when you look at the percentage of dollars going into that, I would say that that's not a very heavy piece of the budget, and so I'm just kind of wondering how priorities are made financially.
Well, I'm going to let Matt.
So sorry. Yeah, I can hit on some things. Great question. And then anyone else wants to add anything, that's cool. So that's a good observation. We do prioritize church planting as the thing, like you pointed out, because that's where about. We're part of an Acts 29 network that prioritizes that stuff. And so we give dollars to that for sure. It's kind of first priority. And then second of all, out of, like you mentioned, the generosity thing, I just want to highlight real quick, in case anyone doesn't know what she's talking about, there was a generosity campaign. By God's grace, we ended last year well financially, thanks to your generosity. And so we gave away, in our finishing, we haven't done it all yet, giving away $10,000 to local organizations, to Global Ghost stuff, to some individuals in and outside of this community. And so that is a way, like you mentioned, some of the organizations that got some of that money was Pathway to Hope, Young Lives, Serve City, those types of things. And so we are trying to be mindful of that. And then lastly, in regards to like budget priority for this year, those organizations, we haven't allocated tons of dollars to those things, but we are mindful of those with how we serve. And we do have a local missions fund. It's not a lot. We'll be honest with that. It's something we hope to grow in time, but that's not off the radar. And so, Jackie, I don't know if there's something maybe you're hoping to see, but we're mindful of that. There is intentionality there, and over time, we do want to allot more to that. Trying to think of any ways else to answer that.
I can speak maybe to that. I don't know if your question is just for like money that we're giving away or church planting money in particular, but I'll say this. So we talk about church planting all the time. We want to plant churches and whatever, all those things. And sometimes that looks like being a faithful community that invests in servants and leaders, and we're trying to be mindful of, man, is that person, is that core group among us that we might send a church plant out, whatever. Today, they're not. Much of our investment in the last year has been toward, like, our global go emphasis is on church planting in Guatemala right now. And there's a ton of stuff that's really encouraging about how that's playing out. I overspent our global go budget last year. It might have been Tammy. I don't know. It was one of us. We said yes to a lot of things that really met very practical, physical discipleship needs on the ground in Guatemala. And so, like, that's like a bit like ish. We save money. Part of like our percentages of money that we give away to church planting is money that we give to ourselves, so that when we are at the place to where we've identified a church planter, a place, a people, whatever, then we are like bolstered there a little bit. But we also know that probably needs to have a cap, and we want to more generously give that money away. Much of that has gone to churches in Guatemala.
Yeah, we do have a benevolence fund that we give out of that. That's not marked. We don't have specific line items, obviously, for stuff in there, but we do give out of that as well. And so, something to grow in for sure. And I would love to have off-the-record conversations with you about stuff if there's something you want to meet about. We care about that a ton, and so thanks for asking that.
Could you, because I'm not the numbers yet, percentage-wise, in terms of what we allocate to different things in the budget, do you have those numbers in your brain, percentage-wise, what goes to?
Roughly, we give out 10%, and that's total. To church planting, it's like 8%. Between benevolence and the generosity campaign and stuff like that, it hits close to 10%. And that's kind of like a benchmark for us. We know that if you're thinking generosity for yourself, 10%, we're not legalistically holding you to that or ourselves to that, but we look at each year what is generous for us and what are we bringing in. And so that's roughly what we're bringing in roughly what we're giving away last year from all the things that we brought in. And we do hope that grows over time. We're mindful of kind of building up organizations. Like, for an example, the maintenance team did everything they did last year with $1,200. And so that's
for
the year. That's not a lot. And so our desire is to certainly grow local giving and local go giving and stuff like that, but also not at the expense of also bolstering these other things. And so we're trying to develop the whole budget, not just one specific thing, but again, that is on the radar for sure.
Is that helpful in some way?
It seems like there's a lot of opportunity when you talk about a $430,000 budget last year, and then we talk about a 10% of $40,000 giveaway. That, to me, there's a lot of opportunity to grow beyond. I think a 10% is a tithe, and I think that there is a challenge there in a generosity would be beyond that, right? Like 10% would be the assumed what would be given away if we have a windfall of lottery money, right? You would expect that 10% would come into the church. Generosity to me with an $80,000 surplus would be a lot more, I guess, generosity in my terminology is a lot bigger and bolder than what I'm seeing from the church.
Yeah, we agree with that. And not to push back, as an answer, as a response to that, we've been operating under what we hope to do in a lot of ways. And so last year was honestly getting us almost to where we should be. And so the $80,000 we budgeted pretty conservatively in a lot of those areas, like the clean team has $1,200 for the year, maintenance has. And so the $80,000 surplus, which you're speaking to, which we're incredibly thankful for, was above and beyond our budget, but it's hopefully allowing us to bring some of those needs up to where they should be in a greater capacity as well. So it's not all extra as much as allowing us to maybe fully fund or more adequately fund some of those other line items.
That's how we're doing the women's bathroom. If you take that as one example of how some of the ministry teams have functioned and other things we've just kind of gotten by for a long time, we're able to do that because we had a surplus last year. And so we know we would love to continue to give more and more and more. And that $10,000 that we gave away, that surplus, was above and beyond what we budgeted last year to give away on top of that as well. And so, but yeah, there are just some things in-house, hey, that we can actually like give the ladies a restroom to go that actually works and doesn't flood, you know, every single week or whatever. And so those sorts of things that are also helpful here for these folks, like we get to do some of that as well. And so for sure, like generosity, we want to increase that as time goes on. Yeah, and there's different ways we could look at that, but yeah.
Yeah, numbers and all those things. When I say tangible stuff in terms of even globally, like I had a call this week with a guy I referenced, I think, in a sermon, Blessings Maupalo from Zambia, and we connected with him through an X29 deal or whatever, and so I've been chatting with him recently, but part of that $10,000 that we gave away was $2,500 for them to literally get clean water in their community. And so this week I was on a call with him, and he like walked around and showed, you know, the well and all those, turn on the water and like all those things. And so like that's as tangible, and it might not hit the marks that you're wanting number wise, Jackie, and we can definitely chat about that. But like that is what we want to do, is not just give money away. And to be clear, when I'm in line at Wendy's and they say, do you want to round your 3 cents up to give to children's education, I say confidently no, because I will decide what I give my 3 cents to. And honestly, so it's not just about numbers, but we want to make sure that those things are actually meeting things. And like, you could give to whatever charitable organization and it might not go to do something. And what I would say confidently is what we have been generous in is real money that's going to impact real lives in communities near and far for the kingdom and for the renown of Christ. I believe that to be true.
So. The last thing I would say, because one, I love that this maybe not be the first question, but I love that this was the question. I don't think we're scared of that. And at the end of the day, again, maybe how this looks on the income statement or the balance sheet at the end of the year, I think that should be a fundamental question of what drives all of our financial decisions. We can haggle over the percentages or what actually does it look like to be generous. Did we, you know, give it away, or did we help, you know, support something that, you know, it's technically in that, not in that bucket of money? But I love that question, and I hope that we're asking that as a church and we all feel accountable to that, but at the same time we're asking that for ourselves, right? I mean, that's the other thing, that call to action is, are you being generous, and in what ways are you being generous, both to your tithe, and we don't hold that as a legalistic thing, but then also how are we pouring our lives out with what God has blessed us with? So anyway, I love that question. I could have said a lot more, but you guys hit it awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jackie.
And just so you guys know, we like finance stuff. I think Matt put like all the income, I don't know what the things are called, balance. Again, I'm not the numbers guy, but all the Google Docs and all the spreadsheets are on the thing to look at numbers, all the numbers. And so those are out there so that we can talk about stuff like that and have questions like that. So that's why they're there. Other questions? Bailey.
Kind of already asked you this, but what is, and I feel like sometimes it's helpful for other people to hear too. So, and the space, you're knocking this wall down, you're adding, how I would like to know how much you think this is going to add, and then what's the next plan? I mean, we're here for 2 years committed, 3 years optional. So let's say we're here 5 years from now, like, we got way too many kids in this place. So, I don't know. It's just, you know, what's step two for space?
I mean, we all know how that happens, and so there's that. The ways we can solve that. I'll delete that from the audio recording. This is what happens because I'm the editor. We're hoping this space, Matt, do you want to just talk about building stuff? This is a great thing. This is a thing that we wanted to be able to point to stuff as we were talking.
Well, and the agenda's shot. This is
building stuff, and then we'll circle back and talk about maybe what plans are. You want to talk about building?
Absolutely. One of the ways we're trying to invest back into this space with some of the extra dollars that we did get last year is just wanting to make this space more, I don't want to say better because that's not the goal, but more appropriate for who is coming and how many people we have. And the tension is always this. We know that we rent this space. And so we're not trying to dump thousands of dollars into the space haphazardly, but also knowing that if you listen to the podcast, we just signed a 5-year lease. Like was said, 2 years are guaranteed to be here and 3 years are optional. And we do have some dollars in the bank. And the balance, which we've talked to the finance team, which Anthony's on there, and Chad and other people, and Cassidy as well, the balance is this, trying to say how much should we save for a potential building. And what we don't want to do is just hoard that money there, if we don't go for another building for 5 years and live with leaks in the bathroom and live with maybe an area that is less functional for all that's going on here. And so the steps outlined on the podcast were this. The women's bathroom is first, and we'll probably allocate about $8,000 to that, which might sound like a lot or not a lot to some of you, but we have money in the bank. This is not going into debt. This is money that's saved from last year that we're putting towards that. Step number two would be then helping out on the, or maybe the huddle room, as we have Kia and Katie DeBink on as staff now. We want a place for them to be able to at least place themselves to feel like they can work here, not just here, but like have a maybe an office of some sort. And so we're mindful of what that looks like maybe in the huddle room. The next option or opportunity would be to maybe merge the hospitality bar with the kitchen, maybe in that far corner. We're looking for places in the building that are not used as well. And kind of that over there is a dead space. And so we're merging those two areas. That will cost some money. But the purpose of that also is to make, you know, those things better, but then to be able to knock out this whole section over here to maybe add seats and to make this a little more of a balanced environment to where we can add seats. And when Michael doesn't get a crank in his neck just from looking over here, he will also now be able to look like over here. Hi, Bustles. It's good to have you over there holding down with Liz the fort, and there'll be more people that way. And so that is kind of the goal, and then I think we might have one thing after that. But again, we are mindful of budget. We've talked to the finance team about maybe how much we might allocate towards some of that stuff. And I don't know if that answers the question or not. Maybe I didn't, but go ahead.
Matt buried the lead.
Oh, sorry. I apologize.
The lead is, and that coffee bar would have water and a sink.
Boom.
There you go. That's the idea. Yeah, so there's no more cart with like three giant things of water or people carrying stuff like all the way back and forth.
We don't have to carry the steam cart past the kids every week.
Yeah. Anything else to then? So Bailey, on this side, 40, 50-ish seats maybe over there is kind of what we're thinking that would add. In terms of what stuff looks like after that, I mean, we've already talked about Kayville. You know, we have like 8 million kids that are out here making space surely for adults to be out here. There's some stuff that we can do to maybe not have all of the kids out here at the beginning, but maybe have some more of them back there at some point to start there so that there's just more open seats out here in the first place. Beyond kind of making space there, we know that kids, just like there's a barrier out here for people to sit, there's also a barrier for space out there for the kids. And that sometimes feels like it's even more tight or whatever. And so that's why we added the second and third grade, throwing stuff on the floor, second and third grade classroom back there to try to make space for that. Beyond that, I mean,
we might need to invest some money into other podiums. And so we'll do that as well.
You have some money.
You're on your own.
I'm just going to leave it there. I'm just going to leave it right there. Like that didn't happen. Beyond that, I'm not sure what else there is to do unless you want to talk about.
So we chatted a bit, but a couple things. Our master plan is not to go to two gatherings. Like, just so you know, like we asked some questions. Like, why are you asking questions? Some people are like, I will not go. Like, and some people are like, whatever. Just so you know, like, we care for the community among us, and we care for the mission before us, and we know that churches have proclivities to sell out to one or the other, and our hope is to not sell out to either. We don't want this space to be an obstacle to the mission and to your neighbors and family members coming to trust Christ, and we want them to have a place to sit and a decent bathroom that they feel safe in, and hospitality or whatever. And so that's why those things are. But we're mindful of those things. But just so you know, we ask questions. We talked about it a little bit. But you might be thinking, yeah, so they're just setting us up for, we're not setting you up. And at the same time, we don't know what's next. We spent 6 months like literally trying to find a space for us to meet in that's above ground or maybe even below ground, but like that would suit us better. And we just couldn't, it just didn't exist. We couldn't find one, even if it was $1 million, it didn't exist. And so we said, all right, well, we kind of had a deadline, and we said, all right, at that point, we'll just make this space our own for a little while longer. And so we'll put a little money towards those things to be increase hospitality, to increase the amount of people that can fit in here. And so I'm not saying we will never go to two gatherings. I'm not saying that we are desiring to do that. Beyond that, there's probably a capacity, and our prayer is like, man, we want to plant churches. And if there's somebody among, we want to take a whole row of people and send them out somewhere. Like, That's what we want to do. And all those things are outside of our hands. And so we want to create a culture that multiplies, and we want to create a space that's hospitable, and we want to send missionaries to go, and we don't want to have to turn people away. And so we're solving the initial problem, which is, some more seats. And for you guys, what can you do? Hey, you should come this way and sit down on a Sunday morning before you sit down over there. Like some of those things that you'll hear from us probably coming soon in the kids' stuff. Yeah, maybe they're not in here taking up seats, whatever. But at the end of the day, like, this is the space that we have, and we want to make it our home for as long as we are here, you know?
Yeah. I mean, just to reiterate that, if this place is packed out, especially after we add that stuff and we have everything, then, yeah, we probably have another church plant in here. And so that's honestly one way that maybe doesn't feel practical but really is for you all to be praying for whoever those people are that we might get to send out again to plant a church. Be praying for that. And be mindful. That's a part of what we get to do. We multiply community groups. We multiply churches. We see people come and go. That's part of what we get to do and what we get to be as a community. And so be praying for that. Be mindful of that and be excited that that might actually be a thing that the Lord would want to do. But as he's growing folks here, that we get to like send folks away. That's actually really, it's a sad thing, but it's also a really sweet and exciting thing. And so just be praying for that, honestly. Yeah. Any other questions, Bailey, around that? Or is that... That hit on stuff. Okay, cool. Rick.
To maybe add a little bit to that, we have been, I don't know how to communicate this without talking about another church, but the heart of it is we've been talking to another couple that goes to another church, and I feel like to the space perspective, because I've been walking with this guys through this, like, let's look for churches, and for years, right? It's always been a part of the conversation of where do we meet and why do we meet here, and we want more. We want things that work. We want room, right? I mean, you should have seen the kids' space before here. Like, but this couple was a part of another church, and they have the building. They got the room. Right, they have all the things, and it's a church near here. But what that person specifically said is they don't have the depth, right? They don't have the consistency of teachers in Kayville. They don't have the youth group and the consistency of the teachers of youth group. And so, this is neither here nor there. But what I want to kind of communicate is I feel like we don't have a lot, but what we do have is most important, right? This isn't great. There's a ton of needs, but I do think there's a lot of depth there that you have the potential to lose when your focus is elsewhere, right? So, and that's coming from a place of, again, wanting more and haven't been able to get more. So what do we do with what we got? And so let's just try to squeeze every ounce out of this place and brainstorm and continue to be looking towards the things that continue to foster a Jesus-like culture, right? And so the good news is that can happen in any space. And these guys are really trying to look beyond this space, right? So it's a tough balance. It's a tough road. I'm thankful that we have, I feel like, what's most important. So not to diminish your question, Bailey.
And I know both of you, and you're not pitting any of that against each other. Like, great love, and you two are representative of many others that are part of that and lead community groups and lead teams and sacrificially and all those things. So thanks for that.
Two sides of the same conversation that we are having constantly, which is let's maximize the space, which is after spending last year looking for something else and not pulling the trigger on anything, any projects at all until we were sure there was nothing out there. Like we did that, maximize the space, also knowing maximizing a space means there is no further to grow, right? Like there's a ceiling on how much we can grow. And so That is a logical next question. Once we have reached capacity, what do we do? So it's two sides of the same.
Can I tie it to Jackie's question too around generosity?
I mean, yeah, this Adam, is go ahead.
Yeah, can I do that?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, I just don't want us to miss the first conversation and then immediately jump to this and feel like those are two, you know, separate things. These are the same discussions that we're having. We're not infinite. We don't have infinite amount of resources. What has God blessed us with? What does it look like for us to be generous in this time and place and advance his mission? Beyond that, we have core values that I think ground us in that, like who we are and who God's made us to be as a church. There's probably things we won't jump over in order to get into a building. And I think that's the gift that we have and the gift that you guys have brought to just being a part of this place. So anyway, I don't want us to separate those two discussions. They're inextricably linked together.
Thanks, sir. Any other questions at all? In response to anything that we put out or otherwise? Oh, yep, Sienna.
Hi, this isn't really a question, but kind of a plug. All of those little kids that we were talking about, they get bigger. And when they get bigger, they come to the Bridge, which is our youth group. If you have teenagers that are not connected, feel free to reach out to us or the Bustles. Also, if you have a heart for young adults, as we continue to get more kids, we want to get deeper into discipleship with them. That's hard to do when there's a few of us and a lot of them. So if that's something that you guys could just be praying about, or if you know people that you think would be really good in that role, we're fun to work with, I think.
For real? Yeah, that's Sunday evenings is when they normally gather. They do stuff other times as well. But for real, like starting with a small group of kids and a small group of leaders, and that's gotten the kids have gotten more and more over time. And that's not just because kids get older and have moved up there. That's part of it. But it's also because, man, like the kids who are there are also inviting other kids to come because guess what? They actually like it. They actually like it and enjoy it. And so like that's a really big deal. And so we've got the Verneaux, right? Lauren and the Bustles are all part of that. Ryan McClure, wherever you are, he's over there. So that is our team. I'm not missing anybody, right? Yeah. Like that's our team. Go ahead.
Nice.
Yeah, so like that's our team for the Bridge. For all of the little ones that you see like running around here, like that is who's caring for all this. We would love for some adults, for some young adults, whatever. We know, look, I'm just going to say something obvious. We know we have a lot of Young Life, crew, whatever people in this room, former or current. I would just encourage you to be praying about whether or not that's a thing that the Lord would have you do at some point here as part of this local church, is not just to care about kids that are out there, which is incredible. And that's not to say that is amazing work, that the church is not going to be the first place that reaches those kids. And yet we also have kids in the church who also want to be discipled as well as part of a local church who desire that. And so there is an opportunity here as well, whether that's you or someone that you might know or whatever. I just encourage you to think and pray about that. Well, that's something the Lord wants you to step into. We would love to just chat with you about that. It's not a do it now or not, but like we would love to have conversations, let you see what that's like, introduce you to these guys that are leading right now, so you can get a feel for that. So, yeah, I'll plug it too, Sienna.
I've already got the mic. Court. So
you've already got what?
I've already got the mic. It's here, yes. So I figured I might as well say something.
Go for it.
So on the topic of generosity, again, I think I really share your heart, Jackie, which is like when I think about the pool of money that God has called me to give in his name, right? I think I want more than 10% of it probably to be going outside of Hamilton, Ohio, right? But I think the way that I think about it is the portion of it that I want to go to kind of like, you know, clean water in Zambia, I trust the people that are not kind of the Village for the most part, right? I think I'm comfortable with the idea that to a first approximation, like, you know, the money that I give to the Village is meant to be spiritually, like, you know, building up, you know, this community and people in the Hamilton area, right? And that, you know, if there's stuff outside of that that I feel like God is calling me to, you know, give elsewhere, that I entrust that to other people who are kind of experts in, you know, helping people in those contexts and stuff like that. So I don't know if that's the right way to think about it, to be honest, but that's how I kind of approach that thing.
Thanks, Corey. Yeah, no, that's a bigger conversation. And yeah, I mean, we love to talk with you guys about that whenever you want to. So yeah, for real. Thanks. Anything else? We do have a couple things you want to hit on, but obviously want to make space for you guys to ask whatever too. Anything else? Yes, Karen. Sure. Let's give you a mic real quick.
We just have to, Karen. We just got to deal with it.
Sorry, we just have to.
Sorry.
I mean, I haven't been here very long, you know, but before I came here, what, maybe in October, I looked at a lot of churches up here, and this church has something special. It's a family, and you don't find that everywhere. And you need to make sure no matter what you do, you keep that, because it's becoming very rare to find a church like this. It really is. It's just not out there.
Thanks, Karen.
Thanks, Karen. That's really sweet.
She's a non-paid spokesperson.
That's right. We're glad you're part of it, Karen, for real. Cool. If there's nothing else, and we can stick around. Yeah, any urgent? Ooh. No? Okay. I'm going to urge us towards the next thing you want to hit on.
Sure.
Next.
So I love these guys with my whole heart. And I think it's a gift that we get to serve and lead as we do. And it's one of my greatest, like, prayers of thanks are these bros. And I've not been searching for other churches like you mentioned, Karen, but I know lots of others and know lots of other elder teams and lots of other whatever, and I wouldn't trade them for, I would not trade these guys to most of, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't trade these guys at all for any of those things. And so, but we also care about inviting into this team, knowing that, like, gosh, there's probably one of our biggest gifts is that we've had longevity, and we've only added elders. We've not, like, subtracted them over time, and that's not what's happening here. But also,
he's not quitting. He's just taking a long time to get to the point.
But also knowing that, like, gosh, we want to add to that as God would build up and invest, and also, like, we do, like, it is scary. And we've said before, like, if there are one of us and you had another elder, then, like, that's a high risk. There are four of us that we love, and so if you had another, then, like, it's lower risk, and, like, that's okay. And so we're just mindful of that, and we do something called gospel eldership every other year, and we show men what it looks like, and the constant invitation to be a certain type of man in leadership and all those things. And so all that to say, Dave Craiclaw, you stand up for a second, Dave? He's been on a bit of a journey, and up until today, he's been an elder applicant. You can sit down, it's fine. An elder applicant, but, like, the applicant phase has been, like, a year. I mean, seriously, how long has it been? Less than a year, 9 months, something like that. Yeah, probably about 10 months. Okay. So, but today, he's an elder candidate. And what that means, there will be a document linked to the family meeting stuff, and you can read, because we didn't know what that meant either. We were searching towards that mark, and then we're like, hey, we need to define what that means. So it means he's not an elder, but what it means is like the transition to candidate means that it can be public. Hey, that's what we're doing here. It means that he can preach on a Sunday, and he'll do that, because I'm, like, out of here this summer on sabbatical, and so he will hopefully get to preach this summer. And then it means that we get to continue the conversation, inviting him into elder meetings, and so he'll be a part of those. And there will be a couple things off limits to him, but by and large, we get to interact with him. And so also that means that you get to interact with him, and you get to say, man, what's that been like? And he gets to, like, peel back the curtain a little bit and be like, it's really annoying or frustrating or whatever it is. And so I encourage you to, you know, chat with him or whatever. And we don't know what this phase looks like, but it will probably be hopefully by God's grace shorter than the last phase. And so what is what's not being offered in this is Dave is not an elder, and we don't really have a timeline on when that would happen, but we just wanted to let you know. And because our primary responsibility is to care for you, and if we're inviting someone into that, we want to have your trust along the way as well. And so hopefully that doesn't, like, catch you off guard and you're like, who? I can't believe that. we sat down and we did a pre-assessment, very formal, I would think I would call that, with Dave and Stacy and all of us and our wives, because we love what we have relationally so much. And that, and our wives are part of that as well. And you know that our wives don't have roles, but they have associations. And because of that, we care deeply about his family and our families as well. And so a lot more than that. You can read that document, kick it around. We're super excited, and it's been a joy to walk alongside Dave and Little Tiderway. Anything you guys want to add to that? Or?
I mean, I just think, not having a timeline on, you know, how long this part goes or whatever, but towards the end of that, whenever that is, certainly, once again, like letting you know if and when we arrive at that place, like, hey, we really feel like this is a good fit after it's been public, after he's been able to join us and be with us in a deeper capacity in some ways, we'll tell you that, and you'll have like 2 or 3 weeks if there's anybody that has any concerns, right? Say it now or forever hold your peace kind of a thing. With Dave, with his family or whatever, like, we would love to, we're going to open that up and you guys can let us know, talk to him, whatever, figure that out. That's later to come. But just so you know, it won't be like you'll show up on a Sunday and surprise, he's an elder now. Like, there will be some time at the end that we make sure that is formalized for sure. But I'm just real excited. We love the Craig Klaus. Love you, David.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, love you. He's been, Dave and Stacy and his family have been super gracious through the 9 months we've been engaged in that. Humble, leaning into some hard things at times. And so it's been a gift to get to journey to this point. So love you.
Yeah. Love you. And he's been doing a lot. Community group leader, taught, good friend as well. And so thank you for this guy. I'm looking forward to walking through the process, man.
You can clap. And, yeah. I mean, what? It's fine. Anybody have any questions about that at all? And there may be a lot of things that we can't answer, but yeah, anything.
Can we ban you from wearing
an arsenal jersey? Oh. Okay, nope.
Sports
no, cut
question.
Her off. Cut
sports
her off.
Next question. Close your ears.
Next. Yeah. Go, Liz.
I knew this was going to happen.
I just didn't. Oof. That's. I didn't know if you guys had like a goal for like how many elders you want. Like, that kind of makes me think like, oh, have they been thinking we feel short an elder for like to be able to care for the numbers we have? Or you think like, oh, 5 will feel good. Like, we don't obviously want you guys to be like run down, but I just didn't know if thoughts towards that.
Yeah, we don't have a goal. Definitely. Would not be like, hey, we have to have 7, and then you like lower the bar and you have 7, but then like, what does that even mean? And so we don't have a goal. Mindful of growth, mindful of org stuff, always tweaking kind of organizational stuff and how that plays out. We have 3 staff elders and 1 non-staff elder, and so we just need more on that side of the boat, I think. They have real jobs, and that's meaningful. We don't have real jobs. We just get to do this.
We
all
just
the time.
Do this, yeah.
And so, but for real, and so that voice is super, super, super meaningful. Adam at work, he's a big deal and all the things, but like, no joke, we try to invite him into so much of what happens throughout the week. And I know it's just a glance on his phone and like taking a pulse of whatever and like, hey, we need to circle back around because what is that? You know, like, that's just a regular week, but so thankful for his voice and space. And yeah, so there's no number growth would warrant probably more. And we also, like, maybe the question would be, how does that happen? Did you seek him out? Did they seek you out? And I would say either could be fine. That's why we do things like gospel eldership, to create space for, like, next steps. And even this week, there are a couple of people who are like, man, I might have a desire to be an elder or be in ministry. And so we cultivate those relationships and see where they go. And so it could be either way. It could be somebody saying, man, I can't shake this feeling. Or it could be us saying, man, like, we've been just observing you for a while and we would love to have a conversation about what that could look like. So,
yeah. I mean, part of our heart too, just big picture, is that we are like, we don't want to fast forward 20 years. We're, you know, like, ready to retire or whatever. And like, oh, who's next? You know, like, looking around and there's now like a, you know, multi-generational leap to whoever the next, like, we want to be incrementally like raising up leaders who are slightly younger than us
he's not, by the way. He
doesn't apply to David, but yeah.
Yeah, we're
generally
going.
Generally speaking.
Well, yeah, wrong direction. But whatever, it's fine. We're good. We're accumulating lots of wisdom. That's what we're doing. And so, yeah, but that's a heart of ours, is to bring in younger guys who aren't like, you know, 25 years, but, you know, just a few years younger than us, like over and over and over again, so that there's like not this like wild, wacky shift in who's leading stuff up here, but it just gets to be this gradual, slow, steady thing, which is kind of our MO for everything. So, yeah, that's the heartbeat for that. Any other questions or thoughts before we... Yeah. Oh. No. Sorry.
I asked if he wanted a speaking role, and he said no.
Go ahead, Dave.
That's true. He did, and I said no. But no, I was just thinking, I just wanted to kind of, just for everyone else's sake, just say that through this process, it's been very enlightening to just work with these guys and just feel the care that they've had for me. But to see that throughout the entire process, the priority of the care for first the mission and the people of this church has been at the fore of everything they've done. And so that's something that's been encouraging as a member of this church, but then just personally to have been cared for very well throughout this process. So just wanted to add that. But like they said, if you have any questions about what any of this has looked like, I'm an open book. Come talk to me.
Thanks. Dave knows what he can say and what he can't say, so it's safe. Cool. Yeah, super excited for all that. A couple hitters want to get you out of here in just a couple minutes. And so, what the summer looks like, we mentioned this in the podcast as well. We will be doing a class in May, Village Basics, like just under the word. If you are, whether you're like relatively new to the Bible, Jesus, whatever, you've been in it for a long time, we want to hit on some basic things throughout the year, and the first of these that we are doing this year is about the Bible, what it is, how we got it, how to read it, and then that will actually launch into a summer Bible study. I didn't know what that was going to be when we recorded the podcast, but we're going to be doing Philippians this year, so May is the class. That last class in May, you don't have to go to it to be part of the study or whatever, but is going to be teeing up. Okay, what is the book of Philippians? How should we approach it? What is it about? All that stuff. And then we have a study. We'll probably use this guy here. Give it to all of you. And the hope is to have just you guys meet on your own, figure out your own times you want to get together and hang out. Could be through your community group. Doesn't have to be through your community group. Be whatever. Find some folks to get together and do this 9-week study together through the book of Philippians on your own. It's pretty approachable, and I think it's like a great way to not just dig into the word, but also build some community with some other people. And so if you're someone who's like, I wouldn't know who to even talk to, who's the first person I should go to like ask about how to get connected to that Bible study, well, we hope to have some pre-identified men and women who would be down for leading this, committing to like a 9-week Bible study at maybe a random time during the week that works for them. And just to have a list of, hey, here are some people that are willing to take in whoever wants to show up at this day, at this time, for 9 weeks and go through Philippians together. And so that's kind of the vision there. That's what that'll look like. We'll share more details about that down the road. But that's what some of the summer will look like together. So that's the thing I wanted to give an update on. And then also, so our prayer team has now these lanyards. You might see them wearing. What we want you to know is if you see these lanyards, somebody wearing one of these, whether or not they're at the red tree or at the wall or whatever, wearing a lanyard. Oh, you grabbed it. I thought I was dropping something again. They're ready to pray with you and would love to talk with you, pray with you or whatever. And so whether that's you that might need prayer on a Sunday and maybe like everyone's full, everyone's already being prayed for or whatever, or you know someone who does need prayer, look for someone who has the lanyard, and they are ready. It's not like you can't ask anyone else to pray, right? But like they are ready and willing to pray with whoever. So just wanted to let you know, we didn't really announce any of that stuff, but that's what that means if you see somebody wearing those. That good? Hit the thing? Awesome. Cool. Great. You guys have anything else to share? Cool. Any last words? That sounds really ominous, but questions, comments, whatever before we dismiss for the day.
I'll say this, this doesn't have to be your last chance. Like, we are accessible, and you can say, hey, I have a question. Hit us up whenever, for real. We'd love to chat.
Thanks. Thanks for being here, guys. Love you a ton. Appreciate you.